Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Going Old School Show, live on blogtalkradio.com, Thursday, the 11th of April in the year 2023, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. What are we going to talk about today? Well, we got our special old school insider, Ryan DiResta, on, and he's a hockey guy, and we're going to talk NHL with Ryan DiResta. Ryan and John here for you today. Ryan, what's up, man? Thanks for your time today. I know it's a little bit early, but coffee in hand, we're ready to go, right?
Oh, we're ready to go. Coffee's flowing. Hockey's going. It's a good day.
Beautiful. And don't call him a Ryan poet because he doesn't know it. Anyway, Ryan, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time. We're going to talk about the Bruins because obviously we know it's a foregone conclusion what they've done. You were there the other night. I want to get your thoughts on what you saw as they kind of solidified their place in history, and we'll get on to that and talk about some really interesting matchups, Eastern and Western Conference, because the dogfight continues in the West. All the playoff spots in both conferences have been solidified, but the jockeying for position continues, and the Western Conference is pretty compelling, and I'm sure Ryan will agree. But, Ryan, I got to get your opinion because I know you love hockey. You're my insider. You've taught me more about hockey in the past few weeks than I've known in a long time, which I thank you for. But how are you handling all these very important playoff-implicating games seemingly stacked on a nightly basis?
This is an ongoing thing, and at this point, I mean, you got these fans that are paying so much money to stream it on ESPN, on NESN, on the NHL Network, and yet we're still facing three or four big playoff implication games all at the same time. It just makes it so hard for everyone that's just so involved in the game to see what's going to happen and who's playing who. And quite frankly, I think that come the end of the season, this league's got to figure out how they can start separating these games and moving them into better time slots if there are playoff implications involved. But stacking, you know, 16 games like the other night, every team played, how do you even watch, you know, two or three games at the same time? It's impossible.
And Ryan, there's a way to market it too. And we've seen marketing problems under Bettman for years now, back to the networks they were on that we couldn't even find when we had cable TV back in the day. But, I mean, with the playoff season that's about 2 months long, you've got to think that there's got to be some way to kind of put this Band-Aid on it and change it a little bit just for the viewer because, as we were talking before the show started, if you want to market your brand and you can't get enough marketing in any sport, even the NFL, they have the nation compelled to tune into everything they do. If you're the NHL, you've got to find a way because games are better. You want to talk about Bruins with parity, but they've got to find a way to do this. Is there any way that maybe shorten out the postseason? Any thoughts that jump off the top of your head that they can at least try to attempt kind of get the viewer to see more of these important?
Yeah, I think that once you get this late in the season, even the last like 10, 15 games, there's always going to be teams that are in the hunt. And I think by kind of moving that schedule around and making those games for certain teams, there's a lot of back-to-backs in the last 10 games, which I think is outrageous, especially if you got teams that are going into the first round. You're throwing back-to-backs. Even some teams had two back-to-backs in the last week or so. I think it's time to start making the schedule a little bit more flexible. Those game times should kind of be decided that last couple of days before the game. You know, we're shuffling the 7 o'clock game to 7:30 so that, you know, during the intermissions you can flip between channels, which I wouldn't mind flipping channels. But when you're putting it on four different streaming services, they all start at 7 o'clock, there's no way that you can watch all four games unless you've got four TVs going in your basement or you got your computer, your cell phone, and your TV going. And, I mean, who wants to really do that? So I think it's just all about planning. That last 10-game stretch, some of those games should definitely be negotiable with time, especially just pushing them back 30 minutes. I mean, the games don't even start until 25, 30 minutes after they say they do anyway, which is yet another problem that I have with the NHL.
There you go. Ryan's all fired up, ready to go. Ryan DeResta joined us here in the Going Old School show. Talk some NHL hockey as the playoffs and the regular season, first of all, closes out in a couple of days, Ryan. But let's get to the game, the team that we all focus on here. And you can say, you can argue that the Bruins are the best team ever. There's an argument there, obviously, with those Canadian teams of the 70s, the Red Wings teams of the 90s who are stacked and loaded. But there's no dispute that this team in 2023, the Boston Bruins have put together the single in the history.
I think that this Boston Bruins team that we have is not only something special, but I think that record that we just broke has more meaning to it. I mean, I know we did it in 81 games, and the Canadians did it in 80, but you got to look at the goal differentials here. I mean, they weren't really keeping stats like that back then, but if you're comparing to the Canadians, I still give it to the Bruins. I mean, it's got to be more impressive, especially with how far goaltending has come and just the complete skill of the game. I mean, you put these two teams against each other, I think the Bruins come out every time.
And, Ryan, the fact that they did it with such minimal putback, minimal adversity fighting, if any at all, is even more remarkable because, let's face it, 82 games, I mean, you're bound to cough up a furball and have a bad game. When this team attempted to do that, they still found ways to win. There's really nothing to look back and say, well, did they go to this stage? No, they didn't. Were they playing? No, they didn't. Did they have a 3-4 game? No, they didn't. It's been pretty pristine from start to finish, and I think that harpens to your point. It makes that much more special.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's not one point in the season where I could look back and say, well, we definitely could have, you know, been dumping the puck in more and being more aggressive. I think that they played the game that they needed to against those teams. I think they're doing their homework more than they have before. They've really got a good grip on the league and their opponent. And I mean, that just is always going to make for a more dominant team, more prepared, more mentally ready team is always going to propel your opponent to be better. But no one really stepped up to the plate this year and said that they were better than the Bruins.
Ryan DeResta joins us. Johnny Sanchez here on the Going Old School show, live on blogtalkradio.com. Ryan, what a turnaround. I mean, it just wasn't long ago, last year, that this team lost that opening round series to the Carolina Hurricanes in 7 games. And just the complete 360 this team has done. And we know what happened in the offseason, specifically Bruce Cassidy. I was surprised when they fired him. I didn't think it was the right call. I guess my question to you is, how much of the turnaround has been the coaching change? Maybe it's not Jim Montgomery, but getting Cassidy out of there. And how much of the other factors, meaning acquisitions at the trade deadline? What are some of the factors that caused, in your opinion, this massive turnaround with this team?
I'm at the point where I'm thinking it was more 70-30 here. 70% of it was Cassidy. 30% was their lineup in the morale in the room. You got a guy who most of the players aren't entirely a fan of. The way that he was, you know, talking in the locker room definitely had something to do with it. His lack of faith in DeBrusque, as we've seen, DeBrusque really proved him wrong. And I think that was more or less kind of the line where upper management was like, all right, we're not skating this guy. We're paying him. He wants out. But, you know, this is an asset that we need. We don't want to move right now. We could make a cup run, and here we are, making an absolute tear for the cup this year. And DeBrusque is on that top line, still producing. So I think it was definitely a 70-30 split here, but Cassidy has a lot of success right now in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, he is. So it's amazing. And you look at – talk about a 360 in coaching – he goes jettisoned out of here because he doesn't get along with the players. And when you hear some of the Vegas players talk about him, it's like, I forget the gentleman who's been there since day one in Las Vegas, that it feels like it's year one again when they had all that oomph and all that buzz. So it's amazing. And maybe to me, it was just the fact that Cassidy is kind of warping in the room. And like any coach, you need to change the scenery for the players and the coach. And it was good for both, Brian, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, you never want bad blood. And to see Cassidy go after all those years, yeah, it's upsetting. But to see that he's having success with Vegas like he was having with the Bruins is always a good sign. I mean, yes, he's a great coach, but it just if it doesn't work out for a specific team, maybe he works better for someone else. And, I mean, I'm happy to see that, you know, not only is it Vegas, but they're also in the playoffs too. So, you know, we got a good coach for a good coach.
You got it. Ryan DeResta chucking some NHL with us. We're on Frozen Pond with Ryan today at 11 a.m. on 11:10 now Eastern Time on April 11th on the Going Old School Show. Chips and Ryan here for you on blogtalkradio.com. Ryan, we talked about the power play in past episodes against Washington. 2-for-2 on the power play, but the reemergence of one Brad Marchand, who I think hadn't had a goal in 17 prior games. You were there. Got a goal and 2 assists, the little ball of hate. You get him going, it's his time of year. What was the feeling like there when he netted that power play goal?
The second that he got that, when they went on the power play, the place just erupted. The whole TD Garden really was on their back for getting this power play going. And I think just how loud it was and the emotion in there being that record game just amplified it. And then Marchand to put it right in the back of the net. The place went wild. Marchand, definitely a monkey off the back there. He kind of joked about it in his post game. He said, you know, you just kind of sit back and laugh at it because he went so long without a goal. I think this is his second longest goal drought. And mm-hmm. we're going right into playoffs. And for him to tuck one in on the power play in that last home game, I think we just lit the match and he's ready to go.
Are you a little concerned about his health, you know, following the hip surgery with the long season, or was he kind of just kind of resting it up, kind of precautionary, taking, you know, taking air from using here, and because
I think he got his rest in this year. I think the Bruins did the right thing in, you know, giving him those extra couple of games, not rushing him into coming back when he did. And in between then, you can kind of tell in his skating that he wasn't giving it his all these last few games. He was still getting aggressive, still throwing hits, but he was kind of sitting back a little bit, just prepared to see what was set up in the D zone, which is something that we need. Always looking for where he can get in. He can find a gap. It takes him milliseconds, and he found that hole. He does one move, gets around you, makes you look ridiculous, and it's in the back of the net. And for him to do that right before playoffs is huge for this team.
Yeah, just another boost of adrenaline amongst the many thousand they've had this season. Talking NHL hockey here with Ryan DeResta on the Old School podcast. Ryan, Linus Omark came up a little bit shaken up, looked at it like they took him out for precautionary reasons. I think it's a lower body, something going on with the lower body. I'm not going to quote it because I'm not sure. I don't know what you've heard. But are you a little concerned about that moving forward with the obvious Vezina Trophy winner this season?
There is mild concern, for sure. I mean, you see a guy kind of tweak his leg out there that's like a forward or a D guy. You get a little nervous, but all in all, you know he'll be fine. But to be a goalie and something goes wrong lower body, that's scary. But going off of what was said in post game, it was precautionary. He had a little bit of tightness, and Monty followed it up with, you know, goalies are weird. So I think maybe he felt something that didn't feel quite as, you know, worked out as he wanted it to be. And to get Swayman in there for the last 10 minutes or so, good practice. I mean, that the Capitals definitely wanted, you know, some heat the other night, but with no Ovechkin and no Oshie, you could tell they were missing a big proponent of their game. But for Ullmark to more or less make it his own decision to say, all right, I think I need to come out, rest up a little bit, get Sway in there. Smart move on his part for not pushing it to be out there for the record on the ice. At that point, it's more of, all right, I know where we need to be. I need to go and maybe stretch this out, take a nice bath, you know, something, work it out, see how I feel. I'm not as concerned now that I've heard the post game, but to see him get off the ice, that's always something you don't want to see.
Right. Well, it kind of sets up the I mean, that's going to be the focal point come game one, which I think is has been announced. It's on Monday night now, to be determined whether it's Florida or the Islanders, and we'll get into that in a minute. But is this setting up something like even if Omar says he's 100%, it's still a long potential run for this team. As does Jim Montgomery have to prepare for two goaltenders, maybe a little bit more than he thought going into the playoffs?
I think now he kind of has to really weigh those options of who's going to get game one. Because if Linus needs, you know, 2 extra days to make it a full week of this injury to get better, so you're talking he's going to miss that first game. But also, do you think that maybe we're doing just like they do in football, like the Patriots are famous for? He's hurt. Yep. And then the day of, he's out there and he bats 1,000. So I'm not sure at this point. Is it a power play move?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Is he fine? Could be. But you never want to say anything too soon. I mean, we're still 2 days out and nothing has been really official on it.
Ryan, they're in Montreal tonight. And something tells me, I mean, I want your opinion on who's going to suit up. Is it going to be more of a Pete Bruins? I expect Taylor Hall to play. But I get a feeling, because the Bruins, and whatever the fan base, they're going to be shaking their ass a little bit in the faces of the Canadiens with the points record now. This could get a little ugly with Montreal tonight. I don't care who's playing for Boston, but I think Montreal's going to come out and drop the gloves real, real early. This could be interesting tonight in Montreal. How do you see this shaking out?
I say the same thing, especially last night after that loss they had. They could have bumped out a wild card team, and they could not figure it out. So they're going to come out pissed off tonight and ready to go. And the Bruins breaking their team's former record is just only fuel to the fire here. So I think it's going to be very combatant. It's going to be a lot of back and forth. It might get very chippy early. But I'm hoping that this isn't going to be a Bruins blowout. I'm hoping that this is going to be a close game where the Bruins get away with one.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because, you know, yeah, I used to talk to Red Sox and Yankees, and back when I was younger, there was a between the players and the fans. So the fan base is still there. The players are a little different. But Boston, Montreal, that hatred goes from top to bottom. You want to talk about a rivalry, and I think it's a rivalry regardless of how good or bad each team is, which makes a must-see TV to me tonight. No question about it, Ryan.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a great game. Too bad that you got all these other games going on at 7 o'clock because, you know, I would, of course, I'm going to watch the Bruins game, but I'd love to get a little bit of everything going. So that will be on, of course. We're going to be watching the Bruins tonight.
You bet. Yeah, I may send a piece of this this interview to you about talking about the games to Ryan, to Gary Bettman, if I can. So I might clip that and send it to the league office and we can see what
he does. I think we all need to start writing letters to the office.
Yep. Dial them up, emails, send them in and keep sending them in. It's like voting for your favorite all-star. Hitting that button, send. I agree. Brian Duresti, you're talking. Let's move on to the conference as well, the playoff picture down towards the bottom. The Islanders clinched a playoff spot last night, so it's all set and done. The wild cards of the Islanders in Florida. We don't know what position it's going to be, so we don't know who the Bruins' first-round opponent is. Florida Panthers, last season's President's Trophy winner. How dangerous are they now that they don't have that added weight of expectation that they did last year?
I think that now, with this late push that they've made and being as successful as they have, the past 12 to 15 games, there's definitely, you know, concern for them getting hot and making a good push. And again, this is a team that has a lot of new pieces that are hungry for the playoffs. I mean, you got Tkachuk on there who is absolutely fired up. He's very much like a Brad Marchand. And if you get anywhere near him in the playoffs or you touch one of his guys or you get in front of one of his shots, he's going to come after you. There's just no doubt about it. And that is something that Florida kind of hasn't had and is going to make them more of a threat than they have been in previous years in the playoffs.
Ryan, you talk about the Islanders, and I think they got the goaltending. I like what they do. I like that defensively. They're big. They're physical. But they can't score. And I think if the Bruins play the Islanders, that would be the difference. I mean, if you can't put the puck in against the Bruins, you know they're going to net it. And of all the top eight teams, the lowest scoring team in that eight in the Eastern Conference are the Islanders by far. They just can't put the puck in the net.
No. Islanders just play very boring hockey. I've at least watched 10 full games of theirs this season, and it is just a very slow grind. They sit back, they find your weakness, and then they attack it. So their power play is good. Their penalty kill is good. They're very boring. And right now they don't have Matt Barzal, who's been out for about 4 to 5 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
He's still questionable for playoffs, and he is definitely the biggest piece of that team. So for them to go into the playoffs without Barzal is a huge loss for them.
Ryan, let's talk about a team that failed to make it. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who just really sputtered down the stretch, including that embarrassing loss to the Blackhawks at home to just really kind of seal their deal. 16-year postseason streak ends, the longest in hockey. And Sidney Crosby's going to sit home for the playoffs for the first time since his rookie year. Your thoughts on Pittsburgh, and I guess a two-part question. Is Mike Sullivan's job in jeopardy as head coach? Because this team was streaky. They just couldn't – lots of scoring chances, but really up and down all year long. And is that something the Penguins might think about, maybe a change at the head coaching position?
I don't think it's a Sullivan problem. I'm more on the lines of this is – you know, what everyone thought of the Bruins a few years ago. It's an upper management issue. It's drafting. It's the trade moves that they make. And I think their biggest part right now is goaltending. I still don't think they should have stepped away from Fleury. That was a huge loss for them. And I still don't think they should have moved away from Matt Murray. But here we are.
Why? Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Why did they move away from both those goaltenders?
That still baffles me, especially for Fleury. Yes, he's getting older, and he wasn't as dominant as he was when they were making those runs for the cup. But look what he's done since he's left. He did that first year in Vegas. They went to the Stanley Cup. They went to the third round. They went to the second round. Now he's... The only team he didn't do it with is when he went to Chicago, but you can't really blame him for that.
Right.
And now look at him with the Wild. 2 years in a row, they're going to the playoffs, and they're a scary team out west.
They are. To talk about a tandem of goaltenders, we talked about it off air, that's a team right up there with Boston as a really good tandem of goaltenders, which could really bode well in the playoffs. Ryan, I got to ask about this. Jonathan Toews calling it a career with Chicago. He's had some COVID issues and back and forth, but kind of puts to bed that great Chicago team of the early 2010s with 3 Stanley Cups, but sure shot Hall of Famer, and they're going to make it a big, big event in Chicago. But Jonathan Toews, what a run for that Chicago team, and he's out. Your thoughts on him kind of hanging the skates up?
Oh, it sucks to see a guy like that go, especially with underlying health conditions and probably not really on his own terms, but definitely a Hall of Famer. And, I mean, if he's not at least a second-round, first-round ballot, shame on the league. Or there's already so many guys that get shunned from the Hall of Fame that should be in. And, I mean, look at this guy. He really brought that whole city up from nothing. That team was struggling to get people in the building before he got in there. And it did 3 cups. You got to put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, congratulations to him on all the games played and points that he scored. And, you know, it's definitely going to be sad to see him go.
Yeah, no question. But it kind of closes the door, I think, with the with the trading of Patrick Kane during the season to the Rangers on that great, what a wagon they were for 4 years. I mean, they were must-see TV. I mean, and you're a hockey fan, too, and I'm a Bruins fan like yourself, but you've got to appreciate great teams. When you have an athletic team for 4 years, up there with some of the best. And in hockey, that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think the whole Kane trade was really the nail in the coffin. So,
okay, Ryan, before we move on to the West, I need a sleeper team.
Lost
in the Stanley Cup, but could just kind of make a run and make it difficult for teams.
I think that is a tough one. I think the sleeper, even though they're really not, is going to be New Jersey. They're a young team. No one thinks they're going to make it that far, but something tells me they're going to get out of this first round and they are going to be a team that is going to get in people's way and is going to be scary because they're so young. They're going to have way more energy. And that is just something that you don't see much in the Stanley Cup playoffs, because usually these teams load up with veterans, and this team really has no veterans. So they are going to be my sleeper team to make it to at least the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bruins are still going to take that.
Yeah, I think so too. But in hockey, and we can do this every year, there always seems to be a team that kind of, you know, not going to burst out of nowhere, but you see these lower seeds teams more often than not winning a couple rounds and making it really difficult and throwing a wrench into the soup of any contender. But let's move out to the West, Ryan, if we may, before we sign off. What a dogfight at the top. 4 points separate the top four teams. Vegas, Edmonton, Dallas, and Colorado. Colorado has a game in hand on each. But, man, what a dogfight. And look at the Vegas team that's looking to win their fourth consecutive conference championship in six seasons. Solid talent over there in the West.
Oh, the West has been so exciting for the past month. It has been a chase. It has been so spread out, and now it's so tight. It's just such a crazy race to see what these last like 15 games can do for a team. I mean, look at these wild cards. It was such an upset for Nashville, such an upset for Calgary, who quite frankly really offloaded this year and last.
Yeah.
So that's kind of their own fault. But the West is just absolutely loaded with just such potential. You got Colorado again at the top. They came from the second wild card spot all the way to first in, what, 12 games? You just don't see teams turn it on like that way.
Right.
So it makes for fun hockey out there, and the only nice thing about that is those are some 10-30 games, so you at least get to watch a couple of those if you don't mind being up till 1 o'clock.
Yeah, again, to your point, as you mentioned, Vegas is at Seattle tonight.
Vegas is the late game tonight in Seattle.
Yep. And then Edmonton is home versus San Jose to close out the season. Dallas is at home versus St. Louis. But Colorado can sneak up there and jump in the ranks versus Winnipeg tonight and at Nashville tomorrow. And you mentioned that Colorado team, and they're, you know, sitting at fourth, and they've made a, you know, 8-1-1 in their last 10. Can a team be a sleeper in the West, Ryan?
I think the sleeper team for me out West is Winnipeg.
Wow.
They're a team that can make a run, and it's looking like Vegas is going to get them, and that's a scary matchup for me.
Let's talk about Edmonton and what they're doing and so forth. I think we talked about it, and they've won 8 in a row. And we talked about their woes. They're great offensively. They seem to have everything but goaltending. And regardless of how they do, Ryan, during this playoff run, I think if you're the Edmonton Brass and you want to get this, you want to keep this team and number one, McDavid from kind of doing the Westy thing, because I think eventually if they don't succeed, that may happen. You got to go out and do your due diligence and cure up this goaltending, because that seems to be their big weakness, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you got two young guys over there. You got Campbell, who's coming from Toronto, and, I mean, for Toronto to get rid of a goalie, that says something. I mean, not saying that Toronto's the brightest team, but they're offloading goalies, and you just picked him up, so how much are you going to expect out of him? And then you got this young guy in Stuart Skinner who's turned it on this year. But again, you're talking about a two-year rookie. So you're not going to get much experience out of either one of these guys going into playoffs. So hopefully you get that rookie luck, that, you know, second-year playoff run luck where you can really dial in and figure it out. But at the same time, how often is it going to be that you're going to have two young goaltenders turn it on in the playoffs? So if you're putting the team on the back of two people in McDavid and Dreisaitl, I say you still make a solid run. 250-goal if and 60-goal scorer. You don't see that, like, ever. Two guys on the same team scoring more than 50 goals, more than 120 points. It's absurd. So I think they're going to be okay offensively if their defense can figure it out and keep pucks away from the net.
Is that offense in Edmonton basically a byproduct of how good Connor McDavid is? In other words, as a team playing them, you got to kind of focus on McDavid, or the other guy is just that solid as well?
It's a good mix of both. You could put anyone up on that line with McDavid. He doesn't have to shoot the puck. He can still make fantastic plays. So he'll find you. He doesn't care who he's passing the puck to. He just sees the stick and he's going to put it there and he knows that you're going to score it. He's done it all season. He's done it for the past 7 years. And I think that once you have a guy that you practice with who pushes that hard and you can watch, you know, how he thinks, like you just see what he sees at some point, it's going to make your whole team naturally better if you're paying attention to this guy. And I think, how do you not at practice watch everything this guy is doing? So he definitely has made this team better. But again, you got to hope everyone figures it out and turns it on for them to make a run. And for them, it's cup or bust.
Brian, final question. And I originally thought that, and they still do in a way, I think it's Boston and Los Angeles. It's just from the coach and what the coach has done with each respective team and where they were. But, man, something tells me McDavid and Pasternak and then that Edmonton offense against the Bruins would be, at least from a player standpoint, I think would really be good for the NHL as a league to be in the finals against each other. I think that would be just – I mean, again, you want to talk about must-see TV, but just from a hockey standpoint, that'd be the matchup I kind of want to see now is Edmonton-Boston.
Oh, absolutely. That's another matchup. I mean, just like last year, you want to see McKinnon in the Cup, and you got him against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. Great story there. And I think the same can be said about Pasternak and McDavid to have them – you know, the Bruins and the Oilers going at it in the Stanley Cup. You don't have that anymore. So to see that would definitely be special.
Bill Murray and all the dancing from the 1990s. Great. Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to talking to you on the air and off the air, but we'll hopefully join you at Going Old School Show next week, buddy. Okay, Ryan.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Ryan DiResta, our NHL insider, and I mean it when I tell you, I like hockey. I'm not a diehard hockey fan. Ryan is, and the reason I brought him on the show, and I talked about that initially when we did, I've never known a person that I've known outside of a beat writer who not only has a passion for the game, but studies it and not just the Bruins, the whole league. And that's why I kind of admire Ryan. And quite frankly, he's taught me more hockey in this past six-week span that we've had him on than I've known before we started. So, again, Ryan, and he knows this. I thank him for teaching me, and I thank him for coming on our show on the Going Old School Show each and every week. It is in stone, folks. The Bruins will open the Stanley Cup playoffs on Monday night at TD Garden. A team to be determined, it will be either the Islanders or the Florida Panthers. So it's postseason time. But that game tonight in Montreal has a chance to be epic for every other reason than pure hockey, if you know what I'm saying. You could see the gloves drop before the opening faceoff, or puck drop as they have it. But it's going to be interesting. We'll close out the season tonight, and this is where the Bruins want to be, and the second season starts, and wipe away all the 63 win record, 64 now, soon to be 65, I think, and the points record, the greatest single season in regular season in NHL history, moving behind us as of tonight, because on the plus, and here we go. With Mark Fortney at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Going Old School show. We'll be live on Blog Talk Radio. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs as Mark's going to come on again, and we'll kind of set the tone and set the table as he's going to join us each and every week on the Going Old School show during the NBA playoff season. Lots to talk about there. Lots of good things out west. Looks like the Celtics will, we're going to see where they play. We don't know yet, to the best of my knowledge. So, anyway, keep in touch on our Facebook page. Like it, if you will, Old School Podcast on Facebook.com. And Wednesday, we'll be back on our regular show with John Crow and Joe Ferrandi and myself. But until then, everybody, enjoy your day. Enjoy your weekend. Take care. Stay well. Be safe. And we'll talk to you on the other side.